The following program is for mature audiences only. Football talk shows, most of them sound like this. Blah, 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 blah. Not this one. That's because it features the former director of college scouting with the Chicago Bears. He worked on the staff that drafted, you know, the likes of Devin Hester, Olin Krutz, Lance Briggs. He's the man who takes shit from absolutely nobody. He's Greg Gabriel. Gabriel joins longtime Chicago sports reporter David Schuster. And this is, accordingly, Gabriel Schuster Talk Bears.
And welcome into the Gabriel Schuster Podcast. I'm David Schuster, and he, of course, is Mr. Greg Gabriel, the star of the show. And I'm just only happy to be in your orbit, Greg, because you're a babe magnet, and I'm happy with whatever leftovers are around.
I'm a babe.
I knew I'd stop him right in his tracks by saying that. A little levity.
I'm a happily married man.
I know that. Well, listen, you can still be a babe magnet, even a happily married man.
Yeah,
like
to
I said,
my grandchildren, all those little darling granddaughters I have.
God bless you for having all those grandchildren. Seriously, I just wanted to start with a little levity because, Greg, normally you say, well, you know, Chicago people, they just rag and rag and rag. And guess what? I'm going to rag and rag
myself. You know what? They deserve to be
you
ragged
bet
on
they
for their
do.
Performance yesterday.
You
but
bet.
At the same time, they said a couple minutes ago, I'm not going to overreact to a loss, just like I'm not going to overreact to a win. I did not expect them to win yesterday, but I expected them to play better. And I think there's a lot of reasons. There's no cohesiveness on offense.
That's an understatement.
It's been going on. I was hoping that after Nick got two or three starts under his belt that we'd see some, but we didn't. So now I think the onus goes on the play calling. And a guy I respect, I don't want to mention his name, but I saw a tweet from him last night, and he's a former NFL GM, and he said that the Rams are attacking the Bears with a purpose in their offensive play calling. The Bears are calling plays. There is no there's no rhyme or reason of why. It's like, okay, I got a sheet of plays. Okay, we'll try this one. We'll try this one. You know, instead of this sets up this, which sets up this, which sets up this. And I think that's what's missing. You look at the run game, you say, okay, the run game sucks. Well, why? Well, you know, it's like when you look, and I watched some of the All-22 this morning, it's like four of the five offensive linemen block well on one play, and one guy misses a block. Could be one, you know, the left tackle one play, the right guard the next play, the center. But you just don't have that cohesiveness. You have a breakdown, and you have a consistent breakdown on just about every running play where, you know, instead of five guys working in unison, there's four of the five working. And that one breakdown causes a problem.
All right. I think you're being a little bit too kind here, to be perfectly honest with you. The final.
No, I'll be honest, because I've done this for a long time. You come in after a game, be it a win or a loss, and you watch the tape and you try to be objective. Now, I haven't watched all the tape yet, but, you know, a lot of times a loss isn't as bad as it looked, and a lot of times the win isn't as good as it looked either. You know, it's they won five out of their first six, and it's easy to make corrections when you're winning. Now you got lost, and you played terrible on the road. Like I said, I fully expected them to lose the game yesterday, but even as poorly as they played, and I'm trying not to swear, as poorly as they played
I'll pick
yesterday,
up the pace. Promise.
I think they're going to beat New Orleans Sunday.
Okay, well, that's your early prognosis. I'm going to take a little bit different tack than you. I think last night's loss was even worse than it looked, to be honest with you. And I think this is the kind of loss last night, and I've seen this too many times with the Bears over the years, especially on national TV. I mean, it's even worse when they embarrass themselves on national TV. It's like, you know... I tweeted, you know, why play the fourth quarter? Just take an early flight home and get home already, because they embarrassed themselves last night. They lost 24-10. It wasn't even that close. This is the way, you know, we'll go, here we go, with the chronological, you know, viewing of the game, and we'll do that in just a second, but we always like to start with an overview, and you gave a little bit of your overview, so I'll give you mine.
Okay.
The offense stunk. Ted Ginn was beyond stink. He was odorous. And you said during the third or fourth quarter, I'm surprised you waited that long. You said if he's even on this team this week, it'll be a shock.
Well, I said.
Or he should be off the team.
After one punt, I said, Ted Ginn is useless.
I've never seen.
And then the next time I said, he's beyond useless.
Yeah.
And then you egged me on and say, okay, when's the next time? And I said, it's not worth it. But he should get cut this week.
Yes, I did egg you on a little bit, I admit it. I've never seen that before. I've never seen – well, first of all, kudos to the Rams punter. I mean, he had a great game, but he had it easy. He was kicking basically from his 45 or 50-yard line.
You got to feel the game ball.
Yes, exactly.
End of discussion.
I've never seen that before.
First of all, this guy can kick the ball. He gets like reverse spin on
he
the
does.
Ball. Okay, and you're supposed to know that going into the game. The returner's supposed to know that. The whole return team is supposed to know that. And so what's that tell you? You got to feel the damn ball. It's not going to bounce into the end zone.
I've never seen that before, Greg. There were how many? Six times at least? He just literally ran away from the ball.
He limits the offense what they're going to do, and that's nobody's fault but Ted Ginn.
100%. Well, it's also the special teams coach.
No, the special team. The problem is they don't have Greasy points out, or it might have been Lewis. You know that why didn't they call a timeout at the end of the first half, and you know to make the Rams punt? And my answer to that, and I tweeted it out, was because they don't have a reliable punt returner. They don't trust who they have back there, so it would have been a useless play. They have to find somebody this week. Now, the only person on the squad that I know of that has return experience is Anthony Miller.
That was going to say that.
Okay, he's the only guy. So unless it's somebody that's out on the street. Now, there's some guy, and I do not recall the name, Biggs, tweeted about it. They brought him in for a tryout last week. Here's the problem you have with that, though, and it's a league problem, is that when you're bringing in somebody off the street, unless this guy's already being quarantined in Chicago, you know, they got to go through a quarantine period, and which basically, unless he was been here and been in quarantine since his tryout last week, he's useless to play in the game this week. You know, so now if he's been here and he's been under quarantine and he's deemed healthy and he can play, maybe that, and I wish I could remember his name, but I can't, but you can get him in and have him do it Sunday. But if Ginn is on the team, he does nothing in the pass game. He doesn't even play in the pass game.
Right.
Okay, so he's last among the receivers in the pass game and he can't field punts. He's a pussy.
I mean,
it's as simple as that.
I would have had him walk home. Sorry, you are not allowed on the plane. You will not run to catch the damn football like it had cooties or something. Sorry, you are not allowed on the plane to come home.
I think the ball had COVID.
I've never seen that before where you're – I've just never seen that before where you ran away from the football.
He doesn't want to get hit.
All right, anyway, what else did I write last night? I said it looked like after a while – you know, the Bears' defense was bending like it usually does, but it wasn't breaking. But then finally, when Foles threw that interception in the end zone, I thought the defense got demoralized at that point.
I agree with you. And I, again, tweeted
and started to give up.
Yeah, I think, I'll swear here, defense after that play said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Now, it showed for that next drive. But then they kind of regrouped.
They regrouped. I will agree with that. But they look so damn demoralized after that interception. Then after the game last night, and again, we're going to go through the game here in just a second.
Why?
Why? because we have an hour to kill.
No, we don't. There's no law here. It was an awful game.
Well,
why extend the pain?
Because lunch won't be here for an hour. That's why. You know, I'm going to pick on the coach here. I'm sorry. His play calling stunk, too, to high heaven. He should have walked home also. A reporter asked him after the game. I'm sure you saw this.
No, well, I didn't. I turned off the TV with a minute left in the game.
Okay. A reporter asked him after the game, hey, you know, coach, Cole Kmet played really well. You know, do you think he should play more next week? And so, you know, I'm paraphrasing him. He goes, you know what? That's a really good idea. We're probably going to play him more next week. So you know what I said after that? I think the reporter who asked the question should coach the damn game. Seriously. You know, your stupid answer after a reporter asked that question is, you know, you're right. He should play next week. I mean, you know, I would have...
Pat Manley and Olin Krutz, both during the week, during their analysis, more Olin than Pat, both said, after watching the film, I see no reason why he isn't the starting tight end. And, you know, and I think part of the reason, you know, Harris had another drop. I think
he's early in the game.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing out there?
He just stalls drives. And so, but I think the reason he's out there, I lost my train of thought there for a second. Sorry about that.
Well, about Cole Kmet.
Harris is, I think the feeling with the coaching staff is that Harris is the, quote, best blocker.
Throw him the ball.
Okay, but, and so that's why he is in playing the Y, because if you noticed, when Kmet was in there, he was lined up as a fullback, lined up as a wing. He wasn't really lined up as the Y. Sometimes they had some three tight end formations, and he was up on the line of scrimmage. And so, to me, they're saying they don't totally trust him to be that end of the line blocker. But now, you know, go to that fourth and one play where they had the toss to 84 to Patterson, Cordarrelle Patterson, and they had a wide receiver set up to make the block who got demolished by the outside linebacker.
Yep.
It should have been a tight end in that position.
Yes, it should have. All right, the other thing real quickly before we get into the game itself, Cordarrelle Patterson, get him out of the backfield. I'm sorry. I know you want to try and take advantage of his supposedly talents, but his talent is not running the football, at least out of the backfield. Or that offensive line is even worse than you and I think it is. One of the two, or both.
He hasn't been productive in the
end.
It's a production league.
At all.
Totally agree.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go through the game. Now we'll hear from some of the participants, including the coach, after the game. All right, so the Bears get the ball first. Patterson, here's the one thing he did well. He got the ball to the 30-yard line on the opening kick. Montgomery, they try to get the running game going. We'll talk a lot about that running game in a second, or as we go through here. Montgomery runs for 3 yards, then Patterson, I think this might have been his longest run, for 1 yard. And then first down, Anthony Miller. Looked like they got a first down, but holding on Ifedi. So that sort of stalled the drive. Then let's see, LA got the ball, and it looked like LA, the Rams, they were intent on trying to get their running game going right off the bat. Henderson had a couple of nice runs right off the bat. He's a better running back than I knew.
You know, I was listening to Olin yesterday afternoon, and he said the key to the game was defensively for the Bears, do they stop the Rams running game, because the Rams running game is actually a very good running game, and the pass game works off the run. There's a lot of actions that they do in the run game that revert back to the passing game. So, and interestingly enough, no, the Bears did not stop the run. Part of that is their tackling. Their tackling has been poor all year.
Danny Trevathan is back on your shit list after last night, I'm sure.
There's plays where they had them bottled up for no gain or a loss that turned into a 4, 5, 6, 7 yard gain because of poor tackling. Now, you know what? We've played 6 games now, 7 games, whatever the hell it is. And there's no excuse now for poor tackling. Yeah, you didn't have a preseason. I don't care. You've played a number of regular season games now.
Yeah, by now they should be in the swing of it.
Up. It's, you know how you tackle a guy? You wrap up. You don't just throw your body at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to use your hands and wrap up.
All right, so the Rams have the football. Let's see. They ran a really stupid play out of a timeout. Do you remember this play, Greg? It was 3rd and 4. They ran a screen pass that had no chance themselves. By the way, Jared Goff, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. He wasn't very good at all. Did you see how off target he was on so many throws last night?
You know what I noticed? Except for one throw, when you get in his face, he's awful. He gets rid of the ball. He kind of chokes. His accuracy's off. When you give him time, he's pretty darn good, and he's got a clean pocket. He's pressured. He's terrible.
Yeah, and no, he doesn't have mobility. And I'm sure that was part of the game plan. Obviously, it's the game plan all week. Every game, I should say, is to get to the quarterback. But I was not impressed with him. You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this league. You know, we're going to talk about them at the end of the podcast.
There was a roughing the passer called on Akeem Hicks that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember that one. He tackled him after he threw the ball.
Right.
That's why they gave him the roughing.
And there was a hands to, early on, there was a hands to the face on a team that was also ridiculous. So, but hey, that is what it is.
Yeah. All right, let's see. You know, the Bears did pretty much nothing, of course, in that first quarter. I'm sort of getting ahead of myself. The one nice play was a 37-yard pass to Cole Kmet. That was, I think, the second longest play of the game for the Bears. I think Robinson had a 42-yarder late in the game.
Both, interestingly enough, were both to the left side. I don't know if that means anything, but
means they're Democratic. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Then throw to the frickin' right side.
pack the court. Anyway, there was a couple more plays where Patterson, again, he did nothing. I mean, he's a big body, Greg. What am I missing here?
He's got upright, speed. He doesn't have great instincts.
Boy, very disappointing. The Bears at the end of the first quarter had 15 yards rushing, and that was a harbinger. I think that might have been their best quarter running the football, because they ended up at the end of the game. How many yards did they have rushing? They ended up with 49 yards rushing. Do you realize over the last four games, they're less as a team? As a team, they're less than 200 yards rushing.
It's the first couple games are great.
That's
the last
a joke.
Four, they've been terrible.
That's an absolute. I mean, I'm just saying it to myself.
I said this last week. I'll say it again. Part of it is how you call the plays. I think, you know, they start off the game. First two plays, I think, were running plays. And if you throw a little bit more in first down, just a little 4 or 5 yard completion, they're easy to do. It makes you helps you to stay on schedule and makes the second down play calling that much easier. The few times that they did it early in the game, they had success. Okay, and then even if you try to run the ball on second down and you only pick up a yard, you're still now 3rd and 2 instead of 3rd and 9.
Yeah. You know, I'm skipping over that the Rams actually scored a touchdown in that first quarter. Before that, Goff.
I'm just trying to get you to hurry through, so yeah.
Wait, I made all these copious notes from last night's game. Don't make me do this. Well, I should probably just crumple it up and throw it away.
That's right.
But I worked so hard to do this. Anyway, Goff threw this nice touch. Well, he threw a nice long pass. That actually Jalen Johnson had great coverage on. Do you remember that play?
Yes.
Okay, that was before the touchdown.
That was along the left side, too.
Yes. So Johnson, again, played fairly well. They were picking on him. There's a theme here, obviously. You know, I didn't even notice Kyle Fuller. I'm thinking about it in last night's game because they never threw at him.
No, they don't throw at him.
It's amazing.
I think on their first drive, might have been the second one, they threw a deep ball at Johnson right away. It was overthrown, and he had great coverage on it.
All right. Before the touchdown, Hicks did have a penalty, and guy, I guess he's the most penalized player. Did I see that this morning in the NFL? And a lot of that, I'm sure, one of them was, you know, when he jumped on the pile. We'll get to that one. That was pretty comical, actually. That reminded me of when we had, you know, we were playing in the park when we were kids.
That play was atrocious.
Yeah, that play. They should have called that play. We'll get to that one. I think they should have.
Whatever. It's still very poor tackling on the Bears part.
Oh, of course it was. Of course it was. It just reminded me when Hicks jumped on that guy. It was like when we were playing, you know, in the park in the snow where somebody was like king of the hill and we'd just jump on somebody. That's what Hicks did. Anyway, this earlier penalty to Hicks, it was hands to the face. And that led to the touchdown, Goff throwing to Reynolds, the 4-yard touchdown pass. And so the quarter ends with the score 7-0.
And I think if we're not mistaken, the guy who got beat real bad on that play was Buster Skrine.
Yes, it was.
Yes,
it was.
He did not have one of his better games.
No, he did not. All right, so the second quarter starts, and let's see. Ultimately, after a short drive, Santos kicks a field goal. It's 7-3. Then I noticed something, Greg, and I didn't understand that, and they didn't talk about that. And Aldo, maybe you have a thought on this one too. On the ensuing kickoff, you saw the Bears with five guys on each side of the kicker.
And then they flip-flop.
And they flip-flop. And I'm thinking, are they going to try an onside kick here?
I thought that too, but I have no way or reason why they did that.
Yeah. So the fact that they had the five guys, it looked like Red Rover, come on over or something like that. Why did they do that?
I don't know. That one I have no answer to. I'd have to, you know, get a hold of Tabor to find out that.
That's a special teams thing. Do you have a theory? Aldo?
Yeah, I do. It is mental masturbation.
Okay. So is this podcast. You know, the only thing I can think of, they have a blocking scheme and they're trying to throw off the blocking scheme. Could that possibly be it?
I mean, yeah, it could be. I saw it and I'm going, why are they doing this?
We're trying to make sense out of last night's game. It's a losing effort on our part.
Okay, next.
Greg just wants to get through this. But he found the positive in this. Anyway, Goff, there was a 3rd and 11. Goff picks up a first down. Let's see. Mario Edwards had a nice big hit on a run on a misdirection play. Do you remember that play?
Yes, it was a nice play.
That was a nice play on his part.
Came across the face of the offensive lineman. Guy missed the backside cutoff lock, and he hit him for about a 3-4 yard loss.
And again,
a big hit, too.
Overall, I mean, the Bears' defense at times crumbled a little bit, and they did give up a lot of yardage here and there. But I thought overall they still were hitting hard. Other than that one drive, like I said, after the interception, I'm not faulting the defense. They were allowed back on the plane, okay? The offense, sorry, you're still walking. You're basically in the Sierra Mountains or something like that now.
So we should expect them back for a Sunday game maybe
Saturday morning? No, they're going to have to forfeit next game because they'll probably be in Kansas City by then.
Okay. Well, maybe they're taking an Uber. Boy, that'd be expensive.
Yeah. Let's see here. There was a couple of plays, you know, I made note here that Goff badly overthrew some of his receivers. Badly. So he wasn't always under pressure when he overthrew.
Well, the one he overthrew, he must be a liberal because he all his throws are to the left. He the deep throw to Mooney.
Now you're talking about Foles. I'm talking about Goff.
Oh, Goff. Well,
I mean, yeah, Foles overthrew a couple of guys too,
but a couple one times time. It was under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there were some pundits who said, "Well," and I'm sure you probably saw the same thing. Aldo's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. One of the pundits said that Foles was at fault on that one, but actually he was not because they were in his face even before the receiver basically got past the line of scrimmage.
Well,
so I didn't blame him on that one.
Break. Yeah, no, it was that was the offensive line.
Okay,
I can't even blame the offensive line on that because they were overloading to one side. You had three guys coming and two guys blocking.
Right.
You know, so that was the blocking scheme,
and I think
not
was,
the actual people.
I think on that particular one, wasn't he throwing it from the end zone on top of it?
Yes.
And usually, if the defense has got you that backed up, they're coming with more ferocity than even any other time on the field because they smell a safety. By the way, there should have been a safety called on that one play,
No, wasn't he? He grabbed him on like the half yard line.
No, I think he was in the end zone. I disagree. Aldo, help me out here.
I think not only did I see the contact happen in the end zone, but the announcers, after further review, said, and the NFL official who was working the ESPN broadcast.
Yeah,
agreed.
He thought it was.
Well,
that's on Nagy.
We can talk about the announcers. I think Lewis Riddick does a great job.
You want to go after Greasy now?
Anything that comes out of Brian Greasy's mouth, I do not believe.
All right, well,
Brian Greasy is a rotten person, and I have personal, firsthand knowledge of it. I was with the asshole for 2 years here.
Ooh, red tape that one right there. All right, well, all right, you know, we're going to build on what you just said here when we play some of the tape here afterwards, but we'll build up to that. By the way, also at this point, you know, it's so fucking annoying to me, the fake crowd noise, and I don't know if that's just in the stadium or if that's the TV. I can't stand that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and from what I understand, we hear it, but when you're at the stadium, you don't hear very much of it.
Okay, so that's the TV piping it in?
I think that's what I've been told. I don't know for sure. I mean, you've been
so
in Soldier Field. Is there any? Can you hear fake fan noise?
No, I hear Grobsky munching on food next to me. That's why.
I'm munching on food right here.
You are. So you're Grobsky to me.
Okay. The grobber.
You know, that's a good question. When I'm there on Sunday, I'll let you know. But it just when it's on the TV, you know there's nobody there. I just rather... Just it's like this low hum of a crowd noise, okay? And if there's a good play or a bad play, it doesn't change because they have it on one level, okay?
There's one game I was watching. It might have been the Bills-Jets game where they actually had booing and stuff that was piped in, depending on the play.
Which game was this? In Philadelphia?
No, the Bills-Jets.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, any game with the Jets. There should be booing, of course. Oh, we're gonna talk about him too.
And it was in New York too.
All right, let's see. Here's the play after the Rams punted the ball away, and this is another chance for Ted Ginn Jr. to run away from the football. Okay, falls badly, overthrows Mooney. Then let's see here. There was a bad spot. You remember this one also? There should have been a first down. I think it was Weems.
Wims.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Wims. He caught the ball, and they gave him a first down, but it was a bad spot. And to at least their coach's credit, he challenged it and won it. So, you know, he did the right thing. I think Nagy, they should have thrown the red flag because it would have been a safety. So, hey, listen, that's 2 points that the Bears gave up, to be honest with you.
Now you're losing me on that one, only because the Wims play was out around, what, the 30-yard line or something like that.
Yeah.
So where's the safety coming?
No, I'm talking about the play that we were talking about previous.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I'm just saying, you know, one coach challenged it, one coach did not. The coach that challenged it ended up being correct. The coach that did not challenge it.
Okay, now let's stay along that line. So now they're going to go for it, and
– Yep.
You have an illegal
procedure,
a false start on, that was on 69.
Cowart.
Yeah, on Cowart.
Didn't have a good game.
No, and that, I thought Foles had the first down on the sneak. So there's a couple times when you, because of drop passes, penalties or whatever, just drive killers, and you can't do that.
Greg, am I wrong to demand that Matt Nagy should have called an immediate play after that Javon Wims spot? Because it was clear to the average person that he was short, or at least that it was going to be very, very close. Should not he have gotten that offense to the line of scrimmage and called the play immediately?
Well, that's Nagy and Foles, really, on that. I mean, Foles, and part of it's – the receiver, Wims got to say, I might not have made it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then hurry up and get the play going. But they didn't. And L.A. challenged it and won.
Okay, so after the false start, the Bears do have to punt. The Rams get the ball in very good field position. It only takes them two plays to get the ball down to the 12-yard line, and I wrote down bad tackling on those two plays, and Danny Trevathan definitely missed a tackle that he should have made.
Yeah, hey, you can line all of them up against the wall and shoot them for missed tackles.
Okay.
There's no virgins on that defense for missed tackles yesterday.
All right, see, Greg said he was going to be nice today. Just wait until he gets mad.
I don't like missed tackles.
No, I mean, well,
it's a fundamental. It's a fundamental part of football.
1,000%. All right, the defense did stiffen to their credit. They have a short field goal. It's now 10-3. Foles on the next, ensuing drive, Foles has a quick pass to Mooney. I wrote down at this point, to me, it seems like Mooney is becoming his number one target. I mean, Allen Robinson had the big play late.
You had Ramsey on Allen Robinson a good part of the game.
Yes, and he's obviously the best.
So Ramsey's taken Robinson out of the game, and so now you got to go to number two, which is Mooney. And Mooney's getting better. There's no question about it.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's been the one rookie that has stood out, obviously. I wrote on the same drive, Patterson, again, nothing in the backfield, loses a yard. Aaron Donald finally gets his first, I guess it was a half sack,
Yep.
He finally got to Foles. Then, unfortunately, like right after that, you know, we talked about Mike Davis the previous week not getting revenge against the Bears. But this week, a former Bear, Leonard Floyd, he did get his revenge. He had
known as a pass rusher here, but he got two sacks yesterday.
Well, that's correct. And was he blocked on the first one? I don't think so.
No, but
was that Massey? Mm-hmm. It was Massey on the first one.
I've always been a Leonard Floyd fan. Was he the pass rusher they expected of him when they took him at number 10 or number 9 or whatever the hell big it was? No, but he's a good football player.
Yeah.
Solid football player, but he was not he didn't give them what they were actually looking for in playing that position. But he's, you know, you can't take anything for, they probably should have held on to him, but it would have cost them a ton of money this year to do that.
Yeah. Well, Bobby Massey, again, trying to block Leonard Floyd, and that was a mismatch because Floyd, he tapped him one time and went by him like he was like a turnstile, to be honest with you. But the Rams can't take advantage on their ensuing drive. Jared Goff looking awful again. I keep writing that down. And so it's halftime. It's 10-3. Nick Foles. I mean, the Bears are lucky they're in this game. They haven't done anything, and yet they're in this game at this juncture.
Now, you know, I think we got to be fair. They had drives. They just got into the red zone and then totally died. And if you convert those drives into touchdowns, this game's a lot closer. You know, they had the interception. Now, on the one drive, they go for a fourth down. They don't get it in two plays later. There's the fumble, and Jackson, you know, runs it in. He finally gets a touchdown, and he thought they were going to call that one back on. But, you know, there was opportunity for the Bears to do stuff. They shoot themselves in the foot on offense.
Yeah, a lot of dumb plays, a lot of dumb penalties, bad calls. Can't rush the damn football. I said they had 15 yards of rushing in the first quarter. They had 5 yards of rushing in the second quarter. Greg, you know, I've seen...
That's from here to the wall.
Yeah.
I was just going to, you know, get up and take my steps here. That looks about right. Maybe that's six.
I mean, in lingerie football, you get more yardage rushing. Well, you get something out of it. I mean, come on, seriously, 20 yards rushing in the first half. Doesn't get much better as the game goes on, by the way.
No. Nope.
I mean...
No, the best rush was in the third quarter to the left. And it was...
He says that with anger.
I know. I think Montgomery got, what, about a 10, 12-yard run going off the left side, and that was blocked well that time. But don't see it enough.
All right, Foles in the first half is 12 of 15 for 121 yards. I'm not blaming him yet at this point. We will in the second half as we go on. All right, you know, I bypassed one of the things because the highlight of the game yesterday for me came way back in the first quarter, and I forgot about this. They showed some Gale Sayers highlights. To me, that was the highlight of the game last night, just to see Gale Sayers.
Because on a muddy field, too.
Well, he listen, the man could have run circles around everybody on ice. He was a talent. Like, I mean, we talk about the Bears can't rush the football at all last night. That man was a god. God rest his soul, by the way. All right, 10-3. The Rams started. The Rams got the ball to start the second half, correct?
Yes.
All right, there were two defensive penalties. Hicks had a roughing penalty, and Jalen Johnson had a pass interference call. And
that, to me, that one was a little iffy, too.
Yeah, why did they call that? Because he basically had his hands on him.
Yeah.
You know, is the ball.
I've seen a lot worse than you never see the flag. Hey, you know what? We're homers. We admit it, but.
But we're trying to be fair.
Yeah.
Well, we try. Anyway, Khalil Mack forced the fumble. The Rams were lucky enough to recover. So sometimes it is the break, you know, how the ball
bounce
bounces.
Of the ball, yep.
Yeah, no question about that.
You know, I'm going to be honest. On that play, when I watched the replay, I thought if the Rams would have challenged that play and said it was a forward pass, they would have won. That ball went forward, and his hand was going like this. He actually was going forward with his hand.
You think so?
Yes.
Because I don't recall if I saw the replay on that.
Yeah, and when Mack hit him, I said I was almost waiting for them to ask for a review on that one, only because I thought it was if it had been reviewed, it would have been considered an incomplete pass. He was turned sideways, but his hand was going forward, and the ball did go forward.
All right, I'm going to rush through this because Greg says this game stinks, so I'm just going to start rushing through this. The Rams, on one of the ensuing drives, Malcolm Brown got a 13-yard – well, it was at the 13. He got the ball down to the one. I thought, Greg –
that the scrum play you're talking about?
Yeah, this is the scrum play, and I thought he was wrapped up enough at about the 5 or 6 yard line that they should have blown the whistle dead at that point. Normally, that's what they do. I don't know why they didn't.
I have no answer for that. I agree with you, but at the same time, if he's moving his feet and the officials are right there, and sometimes we can't, when you're in a scrum like that,
you can't see that.
Right. If the guy's moving his legs, they're not going to blow the whistle on that.
Okay, well, that's a rugby play. I mean, that's exactly what rugby is. And they just pushed and pushed and pushed the pile.
Yeah, it was a scrum.
Got down to the 1 yard line. Right. And that's where Hicks jumped on.
Honestly, I thought he was going to get in.
I thought so too. You know?
They did the next play. Yeah. Two plays later.
No, I think it was the next play. Wasn't it the next play?
Yes, it was.
I think it was, that Malcolm Brown got into the end zone. You know, if you push the pile that far from the 13 to the 1, if they don't give him the ball on the next handoff, I'd be really pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so rightfully so, he got in. And so at that point, it's 17-3.
That used to piss me off when I was playing football in college. You'd have a run, you get down to like the 2 or 3 yard line, and then you get there. Freaking ball. And you don't see the ball again. It's like, wait a minute, I got you here.
Okay, well, that reminds me of one of the all-time piss-off plays. It was in when the Bears won the Super Bowl, and Walter Payton did not get the ball to go into the end zone, and they gave it to the fridge. And that was Ditka making an ass of himself.
I was at that first Super Bowl I ever went to, Super Bowl 20.
Were you working that one? Or
No, I was working for the Giants, and I asked George Young for tickets to that guy. I had great seats, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and
then you were on Bourbon Street for the next 3 days.
I think I was on the Patriots side of the field, but the Combine was the next week.
Okay.
And back then, you know, we'll get away from this game. Back then, the Combine used to be the week following the Super Bowl. Okay, and that was actually the second combine ever. The first one was the year before. It was at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. This one was at in New Orleans. So I, you know, went down to the Super Bowl and just stayed there. And then the following year, I was with the Giants. We were in that Super Bowl, but that was right. The first year the combine was at Indy.
Okay.
So that was the 1987.
Oh, they went from New Orleans to Indianapolis? That's like being married to Miss America and then hooking up with
Miss Iowa?
Yeah, something bad. Gosh.
I apologize to my friends in Iowa, but, it's the first one that came to my mind.
All right, so 17-3 at that point. The Bears started moving the ball. They had a pass interference call that actually helped out the cause. But then, unfortunately, when they got down deep into the red zone, Foles threw, how would you describe that pass that was picked off in the end zone?
I thought he forced a throw. I think he throws that
Should've
one out
it
of the,
away.
Yeah, throws it away, live for third down. That was a second. That was a. That, they ran on first down, I think. Got some yardage. That was a second and four. Might have been a pass. I don't remember what the play was, but it was second and four from the, what, 9-yard line or something like that. And then he rolls to his left. He forces that into double coverage and gets picked, you know, on the tip ball. Right place, right time for the safety wrap on that play. But that was all on Foles. He should have just thrown it away and then gone on the next play. Worst thing that happens is they get a field goal.
Absolutely. All right. Unfortunately, the interception. Then the Rams get the football. And this is what we talked about. You know, they easily move down the field. And this was the one specific drive where I thought they sort of gave up because they were pissed off. And it's okay to be pissed off at your offense. Unfortunately, you're supposed to take it out on the other team's offense, but in this instance...
No, I think they lost energy, for lack of a better word, you know, and they just said, what the fuck? You know, and what do we got to do? And because the offense just keeps shooting themselves in the foot, don't get any points on the board, and it just makes it that much more difficult for the Bears to win a game.
Yeah. All right, anyway, the Bears get the ball back. Anthony Miller did have that nice one-hand catch. And that was the correct call. He cupped it long enough in his one hand.
He took three steps before he hit the ground.
So that was a good play. Unfortunately, that drive stopped when Patterson has, again, stopped at... Well, I think he lost yardage on that play. Wasn't even stopped at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but that was a fourth down play, and he lost two. But that was the play where he had Wims doing a block on a 260-pound linebacker that should have been a tight end. You know, the use of personnel on that play. I don't mind the play call that much. They've used that play before, and it's gone for yardage. It's who he had out blocking on the edge.
All right, so who's that on? Is that Nagy?
That's Nagy. That's the design of the play.
Okay, so a lot of people...
You know, he sets up the personnel.
All right, I'll jump a little bit ahead here, Greg. I mean, because a lot of people, once again, and it's not the first time, they said... This guy should not be calling the plays. Listen, Adam Gase gave it up, you know, last week. Not that it helped the Jets by any stretch.
Yeah, they had 4 yards in the second half, I think. I was watching the game. That's how I know that.
Good reporting. Should Nagy give it up? Should Nagy give up the play calling? I mean, if they give up the play calling, you know, why should he even be on the sidelines anymore?
You know, it's a good... question. It's in fact there was one shot they had on the sideline and Laser was right behind him and he's got the call sheet also, and for a second I thought they were actually, and it turned out to be wrong, I thought they were communicating with each other on what to specifically call. But yeah, you know, maybe it's a good idea. You know, Andy Reid at times in his career, and he's one of the great play callers of all time, has given up play calling duties. And part of it is, like, he gave it to Nagy the last third of the season, but he's given it to Childress. He gave it to Peterson. He hasn't given it to Bieniemy yet, but he allows other people to do it. Maybe it's time, just to get a different look and see what happens with the offense. And see if there can be the plays aren't going to change. It's how you know, the sequence of the plays and what you call for certain down and distance situations.
Unfortunately, with a bad offensive line, I don't know if it really makes a difference who's calling the plays. I'm going to be honest.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you what, if Cody Whitehair's out, your two best offensive linemen, our interior linemen, your two best offensive linemen are out. Now, you had an injured calf. They said after the game, if I'm not mistaken, Nagy said he didn't think it was serious. But who knows? But, you know, I know Mustafer. Mustafer played at Notre Dame. Mustafer is a practice squad guy. And the only reason he was playing last night is because when Daniels got hurt, they had to bring up somebody who could snap the ball. But he's not an NFL center. So, I mean, if he has to play center next week, they're hurting.
I'll say. All right. As I said, you know, earlier, I said at this point going into the fourth quarter, just forfeit and catch an earlier flight home. Save yourself. Because all we really saw in the fourth quarter, even though Eddie Jackson finally got his touchdown, and I thought for sure that penalty was going to be against the Bears and he was going to be ripped off three straight weeks. But that, you know, finally it was...
The only thing I didn't like about that was he wanted to have his little dance at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, you're getting beat by a lot here. You save that for another time.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that, but he did anyway. The rest of the fourth quarter was...
But actually, now, in fairness, the defense, Bears score, they kick off,
and
the Rams
chance.
Go three and out.
Well, when did they block the field goal also? They blocked the field goal, I believe, in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they had a chance. I mean, the Bears had a chance. They had, you know, a slim chance. But basically,
yeah, but, you know...
But
our
then
favorite
then,
punt returner,
well, he
Ted
ran,
Ginn,
he ran
you
away
know,
from the
ball. Shit, I mean, you know, the ball hits on about the 12-yard line, bounced down. I mean, how as poorly as the offense played, when your drive starts are inside the 10-yard line, that limits what you can
do.
Oh,
of course.
And that's, you know, there's a half a dozen times in last night's game that was all on Ted Ginn.
Yeah, it absolutely was. All right, the rest of the fourth quarter, basically, Foles another interception, Foles another bad pass, Leonard Floyd another sack, Ted Ginn running away from the football. The game is over. How's that, Greg? I moved right through the fourth quarter. It was better to do it this way. So the game is over. The Bears ended up with 49 yards rushing in last night's game. So again, I don't have the exact number, but the last four games I know combined are under 200 yards rushing.
I'm not making an excuse here, but let's be fair. They're down two or three scores in the second half. They aren't going to run the football.
No.
You're going to throw the football, but...
But they couldn't run it in the first half either.
Right. You're absolutely right.
20 yards rushing in the first half. All right, so here's another thing that I wrote down, Greg. You have two quarterbacks now, you know, and Foles has now played more snaps than Trubisky has. Your two quarterbacks are 179 out of 278. That's 62%. Combined 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. They've been sacked 15 times, and they have a combined quarterback rating of 80. So on top of
they're on par to be, or on pace to have about 33, 34 sacks for the year. That's not good.
No, it's not. So again, it always does start up front. They have a bad offensive line, but you know, Greg, I've said this numerous times also, and I'm not the expert here. You are. I'm just the fan, sort of, you know, reporter and fan. But they have, at best, two average quarterbacks. And like I said, as we go through the rest of the league here in just a little bit, there's some really good quarterbacks, a lot of good young quarterbacks in this league. The Bears don't have them. And so I wrote down, you know what? They might have to draft two quarterbacks next year. One for sure. And then look for another one. Because I think they've given up on Trubisky. They're not going to sign him again. And
no.
Foles is not the answer. So guess what, Greg? You might win this bet. I don't know how you're going to get to 9, to be honest with you. But this team is not going anywhere this year.
No, I'm not ready to say that. I'm going to say, you know.
You're going to say they're going to go somewhere?
No. Well, yeah. They're walking home. You wouldn't let them on the plane. So they're going somewhere. They're going to Chicago.
Gone.
I mean, you know, they went to LAX and they tried to get on the plane, and Schuster was standing at the door and said, "No, you can't get in." You know, let's go back a week and look at the LA Rams, and they go to San Francisco.
They
and
were
they
not good.
Stunk.
Yeah, they did.
They were awful. And so, you know, everybody's, "Oh, the Bears are going to have a good chance." Every week is a different week in the National Football League. Now, in saying that, you got to have Cody White here back in this game next week. You got to have a good center. Mustafa is not the guy unless, you know, he has a miraculous game if White here can't play. And they got to be better along the line. It's simple as that. But the Saints, you know, I've seen a bunch of their games. They're not that good.
Yeah. Well, there's very few really good teams in the NFL.
The Chicago Bears beat Carolina in Carolina. Well, the Rams just got by them last week. Or not the Rams. The Saints just got by them last week. I don't see the Saints as a really good football team right now. And we should be saving this for the end of the week. But, you know, part of it is their best receiver, Thomas, hasn't played in a while.
He's not going to play on Sunday's game either.
He's in the doghouse. He's been in the doghouse with Sean Payton for a while, and word is that he could be on the trading block this week. We'll have to see what happens on that one.
All right, let's listen to some of the post-game tape.
Why?
Because lunch isn't here yet, that's
no,
why.
No, I mean, I didn't listen, but what are you going to say? We stunk.
Yeah, sort of.
They did.
All right,
they stunk.
Well, let's listen anyway. Matt Nagy, here's his basically overview of last night's game.
You know, this is a game today where, you know, there's not a whole lot to say in that locker room other than in these situations. We got to be able to show what type of resolve we have to bounce back from something like this. I thought that, you know, I don't know all the stats, all the numbers in the three phases, but I just felt like we knew defensively there was going to be times that they got chunks on us with their offense, but we were going to, you know, bend and not break. I thought our defense for the most part did that. Obviously stating the obvious, the offense, we got to get stuff figured out. It's not good enough, and to be outscored by your defense obviously is unacceptable too. So that part's frustrating. The special teams in some areas I thought was really good, in other areas I didn't think was very good. But
Ted Ginn,
this is a part of the NFL. You know, this is a part of the league, and then how are we going to respond? What are we going to do? So that's our next challenge.
Yeah, a lot of coach speaking.
JJ, go.
A lot of coach speak in that nonsense.
Yeah, but I agree with the one thing. It's how they respond. And next week, I mean, obviously every week is the biggest game of the season. But this is the biggest game of the season. You got a good football team, not as good as people were making them out to be at the beginning of the year. But it's a good, solid football team, playoff caliber football team. They're coming here to Chicago next week. You have to win that game. That's your bounce back game. And if you don't bounce back against New Orleans, then put the flag up, because it could be all over.
And I might win the bet?
And then you might win the bet.
Okay.
I got five here in my pocket.
No, hold on to it. Hold on to it, unless you want to tip the guy who's bringing lunch. Yeah, you say they have to improve. Well, the coach has got to improve too, okay? He's got some big decisions this week. I'm going to be honest with you, Greg, so I'm going to get to the biggest of the big one, whether he's going to, you know, give up play calling, which I don't think he's going to do.
I don't think so either, but you never know.
Okay. How about the even bigger one? I mean, it was brought up at least on a lot of circles last night. Go back to Trubisky? I mean, Foles was okay in the first half.
He was
awful in the second.
They're not going to do that.
Okay. All right. So then he's basically not going to do anything, maybe other than maybe sitting down Ted Ginn Jr. That's about all he might do.
That's going to be a plus.
All right. Anyway, J.J. Stankovitz then recited the story that Brian Griese was telling on the air last night. The Foles revealed to ESPN that he had no time to get off plays, and so the coach was asked about that after last night's game.
Hey, Matt, on the ESPN broadcast, Brian Griese relayed a conversation he had with Nick Foles, where Nick apparently told him, this is what he said, Nick relayed to him, sometimes play calls come in, and I don't know that I have the time to execute that play call, and I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back there, and so that's something they have to work out. That's just what was said on the broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said, I mean, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
Did you feel like today, though, that the play calls you were getting in, Nick did have enough time to execute them?
I don't know. I got to watch the tape and see. I know there's a couple here or there where, you know, you're in scat protection certain times, and they might make you hot here or there. But I have no idea. You know, I have to go back and see it exactly what the deal is. I know if you're saying the play's getting in to be able to call the play, there's no issue there. I don't know what the next part was.
All right, Greg, I know you really want to respond vehemently to this one, but let's just hear from Foles first, and then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
Foles was basically asked about the same thing and what he told to Griese going into last night's game.
So when Coach Nagy and I talk on the sidelines, we'll go through plays in different situations and go through the defense, and I'll be honest, like, hey, you know, right now maybe get the ball out quicker. They're bringing some pressures, whatnot. So we were talking about game situations and game, you know, different, you know, Coach Nagy and I's conversations and our relationships. So Part of that was, you know, the detail, hey, maybe we don't have the time right now for this type of drop because of what they're bringing and the pressures they're bringing. It's easier with that to, hey, 1-2-3 ball out. So that's where the miscommunication lies, is those are actually conversations Coach Nagy and I have on the sidelines, so that when we go to the field, we're ready to roll. And I think that's a valuable relationship I have with him, to be able to talk like that and understand specifically, and y'all heard me talk about, you know, each game is its own entity, so you have to understand how to play it in the appropriate way.
All right, Greg, I know you have strong thoughts on this one. Go ahead.
Yeah, number one, I think it, I use this old word from politics, it's deplorable that that Brian Griese even brought that up, okay? He was throwing two people on, you know, you got a guy who's new to doing, done college games, new to doing NFL games this year, and he throws the head coach and the quarterback under the bus. Now, knowing Brian Griese and having been around him for 2 years, I don't believe a word that the man says. And I think that he basically stretched the truth on what was told to him by Foles. And you know, Foles basically said that. But, you know, I said to somebody this morning, unless Foles verified that's what he said, I don't believe that he ever said it.
Okay.
Only because of who was, you know, the messenger.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the
messenger
is a scumbag.
The one of the interesting things in the newspaper today, Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune said, why would Griese hold on to that information late in the fourth quarter? Wouldn't that be something that you would share early in the game when you're seeing all the pressure on Nick Foles? Wouldn't that be something more newsworthy than to kind of share it when you've already lost most of your audience as an analyst? If that was an accurate statement, share it early and repeat it a couple of times.
You know, I'm going to paraphrase Pat Manley on the radio this morning when I was driving over here. He was, you know, he's on with Bernstein for an hour, you know, giving a recap of the game. And Bernsey asked him about that. And, you know, Pat wasn't a whole lot different than I was, except he was nicer. You know, that's who Brian Griese is. He's an asshole, okay? And Brian Griese is about Brian Griese. And that's why, having been around him and knowing his personality and knowing who he is, I don't believe what Nick Foles said to him was what he said on TV. Could it have been something similar or, well, you know, and he stretched the truth? I believe that. But I don't believe that, you know, what
verbatim.
He said. Yeah, wasn't even close. And I know what he said.
Okay. All right, let's hear from one more soundbite.
I know what. Let me continue.
Yeah.
Because he said that, mm-hmm. He isn't going to get any kind of information out of a quarterback.
Oh, of course not.
He's dead in the water.
The word spreads, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
All right, one last soundbite from last night's game. It was from Eddie Jackson, who basically summed up the mood, you know, after the game.
I mean, it was tough. You know, at first when you walk in, you know, guys are still, you know, holding your head down. But, you know, it's a lot of football left for us. We know the type of team we got. You know, we're not giving up. You know, we got a good bunch of guys, a group of guys that's going to continue to fight. You know, no matter what happens, we're going to stick to each other, right around one another, and we're going to get better. You know, and that starts with us in practice, you know, going back in there. You know, we got a quick turnaround. But like I said, we got a great group of guys that's not going to break for nobody. We're not right here playing a blame game. We're going to hold everyone accountable, and we're going to get better.
Well, hopefully they will, you know, and I think he speaks for the defense, as rightfully he can. He's one of the leaders of that defense. I don't think he can speak for the offense, unfortunately, and I don't know if that offense can get better, Greg, and it starts with the line, and again, if Cody Whitehair is not playing, that's another strike against
well,
them, obviously.
You know, they may have to go out and get somebody off the street, but
scary.
As I said, well, there's guys on the street that can play and probably be better than Mustafa. And there's the one guy that was, I think he's out on the street, that was here a couple of years ago, and he plays center and guard, Bush. I can't remember his first name. But
Cush. Frank Cush?
Frank Cush was the old Arizona State. But, yeah. But
he might be an upgrade, too. He's 80.
No, he's dead.
He still might be an upgrade.
Eric Cush.
But it's... because of the protocols that you have with COVID, it's getting them in and practicing. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, this is a weird year.
You know, going back to last week, you had the trade with Minnesota and Baltimore for the defensive end. Mm-hmm. You know, Baltimore's just, no, we got to make the trade now. And it was because, you know, because Minnesota wanted to wait. You know, and he said, no, because of, you know, he's not going to, we're making the trade today and he won't be used to us until next week.
Right. All right, let's go through the league from some of the games on Sunday. This is our first. Why? Because lunch still isn't here. That's why. Let's start in the division.
I'm just busting your
I know that. Speaking of busting, you think Todd Gurley got busted by his teammates for not downing the ball at the 1 yard line? And he says, well, I couldn't help it, but it's in my contract for bonuses if I get into the end zone. And then to Detroit's credit, they did score again.
But he's done it before where he has stopped short of the touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. He has. Yeah.
Actually, if you look at the replay, he tried to get down at the one but rolled in. There's nobody to touch him.
Right.
And so the ball crossed the plane.
That was, you know, that was one of two games where there were back-to-back touchdowns in the last minute.
You got to give Detroit credit. Detroit went down the field like
they did
with no timeouts, real quick.
And that was your guy Matthew Stafford, who actually led a last-second drive.
Well, I said he can't win games, but then he played Atlanta.
That's true. There are so many bad teams in the NFL this year. I thought Green Bay was impressive. You know, you thought that Houston would win that game. I said he would.
I thought they might. Houston, you know, they played good for about a half of a quarter.
That's about
it.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers did have the four touchdown passes. And I'll tell you what, Greg, if you ever want to see a perfect example of how to run a 2 minute drive at the end of a half or at the end of the game, Aaron Rodgers is absolutely the best.
Absolutely the best.
I mean, I was, and he was so cool and calm. I watched that game, you know, from start to finish. He was so cool. He knew where the clock was, he knew where the down and distance and all that kind of stuff, and he got the touchdown and used the clock about as good as a quarterback can use it.
Him and Brady are just marvelous with that.
All right. Cleveland. We thought this would be one of the games of the day, and it was. Cleveland outscored Cincinnati 37-34. And again, as I said earlier on, there's some good quarterbacks in this league, good young quarterbacks. And Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrows, between them, had 8 touchdown passes.
Those are two good young ones. And I didn't watch any of that game, but Cincinnati scores. There's only a little over a minute left or something. And then Cleveland goes right down and scores.
Yeah, it was just sort of like the Detroit-Atlanta game. Yeah, like I said, there was back-to-back touchdowns in the last minute in both those games. Pittsburgh, the battle of undefeated teams. Pittsburgh hangs on and beats Tennessee 27-24.
Pittsburgh was killing them early, and then Tennessee had a real strong second half.
New Orleans, who will be here on Sunday, Drew Brees had a couple of touchdown passes. You know, he's been spotty, but he was okay in this game against Carolina. They win it 27-24.
Didn't see any of that game. I thought the way that game was going, I thought Carolina might come back and score late.
Buffalo, the game that you watched, beat the Jets 18-10. Adam Gase is now 0-7, but he's still employed.
I'm shocked.
I do too.
Buffalo got a lot of yards. They couldn't finish drives and kick a lot of field goals. And I'll tell you what, you know, I guess the kicker's going to get, you know, special teams player of the week. I don't know why he missed two. And the two that he missed were relatively short field goals. You know, he missed like a 35 and maybe a 42 or something. You know, when you're a pro kicker now,
you're supposed to make them.
90% minimum.
Yeah. All right. Washington 25-3 over Dallas. And good for Ron Rivera. I guess his treatment ended at the hospital. Did you see yesterday? And he was cheered by the people. You know, that just tells you a little bit about who Ron Rivera is.
There's very few people as good as Ron Rivera. But let's look at the other side of this. Dallas, Mike McCarthy. I personally don't think that he will be back next year. And I'll tell you what. I think when you realize you make a mistake, and I'll go back. And this is where I learned this. Bill Parcells, we beat Buffalo in the 1991 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 25. And then the draft is in April, and he quits right after the draft. Said he had a heart condition. It was really about money, but because he had a miraculous recovery, he was back in the league the next year. But anyway, so we, you know, where are you going to get a coach in May? And we elevate Ray Hanley who was the running back coach, he wasn't even the coordinator, to the head coach, and you knew early on the next season that this wasn't going to work. And it was probably, you know, one of George Young's worst decisions, because I think he knew, everybody knew, it was the wrong decision. Let's move on, because you're setting the franchise back if you keep going. But yet he let Hanley coach one more year, and it just set us back. It was disastrous. Then we brought in Dan Reeves as the head coach. But, you know, the move should have been made after the 1991 season.
All right. So
that's why I'm saying that, you know, getting to Dallas is that Mike McCarthy is not the answer. And now they gave him the slap on the back. Stephen Jones did yesterday. You know, he's the man. How? That team's terribly coached.
Yet they're in the hunt in that rotten division.
Because, well, you're going to have no wins in that division. Right? You'd be in the hunt.
The leader of that division has two wins. Two wins, and we're 7 weeks into the season. All right, Tampa Bay. It's funny about Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady had four touchdown passes at Vegas as they won at 45-20. They were terrible against the Bears, but ever since then, they've gotten better and better each week. I don't know why, but they have.
I thought they were going to be 8-8, 9-7 team. They might be better than that.
I think it'll boil down to Brady. So far, between Brady and Belichick, Brady is proving to be the winner of that thing. I don't know if either one will ultimately be a winner, but so far he's at least, you know, he's ahead of his old coach.
I've never seen the Patriots as bad as they are.
All right, well, we'll go to that one. San Francisco beats New England 33-6. Cam Newton benched in that game, and not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, and I tweeted out, where are all those guys who said we should have signed Cam Newton instead of Nick Foles?
Well, Cam Newton
had one good game with New England. That was the first game, and they ran him in that game.
That is true.
But, you know, and they weren't expecting that. They didn't know what New England was going to do. People know what they're going to do now, and he isn't good enough. And if you watched him throw the ball, he can't throw anymore.
All right, from that game with a bad quarterback to the next three games, the last three games, all with good quarterbacks, and I keep harping on this, Kansas City destroyed Denver 43-16, and I keep talking about Patrick Mahomes. This was on a snowy, icy, slippery field, and it didn't look like he was bothered by it at all.
No.
At all.
He's
amazing.
Yep.
Truly amazing. You're the guy who you think might be the best of the young quarterbacks, Justin Herbert. The Chargers outscore Jacksonville 39-29. He had three more touchdown passes.
Has he thrown for less than 300? I think only one game he's thrown for less than 300 as a starter. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, he's already on his way.
I tweeted out, Joe Burrow's played really well. Herbert's better.
Yeah, that's what you said. All right, Arizona in overtime beats Seattle 37-34, Seattle's first loss. Kyler Murray, another really good young one.
Yeah, he had three touchdown passes. I didn't see the second half of that game, so I thought Seattle was playing pretty good early, but turned it off.
They had a couple of breakdowns in the second half. Russell Wilson did have three touchdown passes, but he also had three interceptions, and he made a couple of bad throws, uncharacteristic bad throws on his part in that second half. All right, so that's it for the NFL, but I wanted to touch a little bit on college football before we get out of here. Ohio State looked good in their first game, and Field looked pretty damn good.
Real good.
I mean, he had one incompletion.
He looked so good that people are starting to say he might be better. He might be better than the guy at Clemson, but it's one game against a lousy Nebraska team.
100% there, too.
Ohio State moved up in the polls like one spot or two spots, and I thought that was ridiculous, too. The Big Ten just started. These other guys have been beating on themselves for the last 6 weeks. Ohio State just starts, and they move them up in the poll. They shouldn't even be allowed to be in the polls until they play like four games.
Yet let's stay in the Big Ten because there was some interesting games that happened there. Wisconsin destroyed Illinois, of course. Graham Mertz, is that how you say his name? He had five touchdown passes, but as we speak right now, he's being tested for COVID-19, and
he's already tested positive.
But they weren't sure if it was a false positive or not. I don't know. Anyway, that might knock him out for a while.
I think in the Big Ten, it could knock them out for under their protocol, could knock them out for 3 weeks.
And did I read this right, Greg? Did they say that, you know, unlike other sports where they will try and reschedule, but if there's a COVID thing with one of the two teams in the Big Ten, that they will not reschedule and it'll just be a no contest?
That part I couldn't tell you. I don't know. And they're starting so late that you don't have time to make up games. You know, the ACC and the SEC, they've had some built-in weeks where they could, like Notre Dame had a rash of COVID go through the team going into their third game against Wake Forest. That game has been postponed till December 12th. The Big Ten doesn't have that time frame because they didn't start till this week.
Okay. Now you have to know that I'm one of your most faithful followers on Twitter. And when Penn State lost to Indiana.
Oh, God, I love it.
I can't remember what your exact words on the tweet were, but
there is
I can hear you're being
said,
really
there
happy.
There is a God. and I'll tell you why. That goes back to when I was working for the Giants and when you made a school call to Penn State, it was awful. You know, scouting's supposed to be fun. You go to Penn State, they had these ridiculous rules. You're only allowed in like 2 days of the whole year. The coaches all lie to you, so you never know if you're getting good information. Joe Paterno is a flaming asshole. And, you know, and then, you know, when the thing came later on about the child abuse and all that other shit, you know, I just can't stand that school. They lose every game.
You'd be happy.
It's fine with me.
All right.
And I got a friend who is an Indiana alum, so I'm sure he was. I'm not sure. I know he's real happy.
Indiana's in the top 20. They're number 17 this week. Yeah, I don't know how long that'll last. All right, Rutgers beat Michigan State.
Well, they brought back the old coach, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Shiano's back there, and in fact, it was funny. There were some people saying before that game kicked off that the running back, and I can't think of his name, the running back at Michigan State should get 200 yards in that game. I don't think so.
And then finally, kudos to Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern. I mean, they destroyed Maryland, but that's not really the story there. The story is that Pat Fitzgerald, 100 wins at Northwestern. And I'll tell
great
you what,
coach.
He is a great coach. And you know what? Those players...
Does more with less than... And that team is so well coached after year.
I mean, when you think about a coach who's affiliated with a university, I do think of Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern.
No question.
Oh, God, I mean, it's just go Cats.
Chicago guy goes to Northwestern, coaches perfect story.
And he could get, if he wanted, he could get a job almost anywhere else if there were openings.
No question. No question about it.
But he's never going to leave there.
Unless he decided he wanted to go in the NFL. But, you know.
I think he had that chance too once, didn't he?
You know, I don't know that. And I don't know if he is a, quote, NFL coach. It's, you know, the games are so different from each other. But, you know, was he a little bit young when he originally got the job?
Yeah, well, it was an unfortunate situation when
absolutely.
Randy Walker passed away.
Right, but, you know, he has grown into that job. And the thing that amazes me about Northwestern is and I go watch them a lot, they don't have the players that Ohio State has and stuff, but that team is always
cohesive.
So well prepared and coached.
Yep.
Fundamentally very, very sound.
And, you know, they made some changes offensively because they didn't, you know, whether personnel or coaches. And a lot of the Northwestern players opted out not to play because of COVID and everything. But, I mean, they did hang 44 on Maryland, so to their credit. And you know, again, kudos to Pat Fitzgerald. A last few notes here in the NFL. What'd you think about the Andy Dalton hit in that game?
Didn't see it, be honest with you. I heard about it. Then word came down yesterday. There was, you know, some people in the media thinking, you know, would Bostic, ex-Bear, by the way, would he get suspended? And
the early word
said
is no.
Yeah, but it probably still cost him 25 grand.
Yeah, Aldo?
It was clearly a dirty hit, and more surprisingly is the reaction by the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody,
no reaction.
Right. Nobody came to his aid. Nobody got in front of Bostic's face. Coach McCarthy was asked about it after the game. He says that he was frankly kind of surprised. We are taught to watch each other's back and so forth. That, to me, is a signal that this team is in disarray. The locker room is there's just no leadership.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think that if Dallas doesn't know that they made the wrong hire.
That'll tell you.
Yeah, if they don't know that, they're in big trouble.
Well, right. And I just saw a headline saying Jerry Jones was asked about Mike McCarthy, and he says, "I got my man." Which,
well, of
is,
course he's going to say
for
that.
This week.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, he's saying that he's not going to can him now, but
why not?
Yeah. You know.
I would can Nagy now.
Well, you know, I'll be honest, and this is bad on my part. I didn't realize Mike Nolan was the defensive coordinator. He's the world's worst.
He is.
And I worked with Mike Nolan in New York. He was Dan Reed's defensive coordinator. Our defense has sucked. And, you know, Mike's a nice guy. His dad was a longtime coach, head coach in the league. But he's not a good coordinator. He has failed more as a coordinator, more times than anybody, I think, in history. And how did he got another opportunity is beyond me.
He made his reputation. He got his opportunity to become a head coach because NFL Films had him microphoned up for a game, and his performance for the cameras during the game, people fell in love with him. He's a good-looking guy. He was good on camera and so forth.
Yeah, and that job was San Francisco.
Right. But you're right. The guy, results-wise, he rarely delivers.
All right, two last things, both regarding wide receivers, one coming, one going. The one going, unfortunately, due to injury, Odell Beckham Jr., like, what was it, an ACL, I think it was? That's unfortunate.
You know, and I saw the play, and it was like, you know, it was kind of a freaky thing. He didn't look like the leg got twisted up or anything like that. It just and it reminded me because it goes for a minute going to the Bears game. I thought Eddie Jackson might have tore it. You know, my second year with the Giants, we had a defensive back, Herb Welch from UCLA, and it was the very first day of training camp, and all he was doing was working on his back pedal pre-practice. I mean, helmets weren't even on, and he tore his ACL. So, I mean, sometimes it's a freak thing. And you know, when you saw the replay, Eddie Jackson, he jumped up, and then he grabbed his knee right away. I thought,
uh-oh.
Yeah, and then he was back in the next series.
Fortunately. And the last one, and I think this is a good gamble, even though he's a gamble, period, is Antonio Brown sounding down in Tampa Bay. And it's official as of this morning. He did sign down there. It's a one-year deal, and I think he'll be available not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. Again, it's a gamble. But Tom Brady, you know, basically sold this one to the organization. So.
Yeah, the head coach said Brady had nothing to do with it. He's full
bullshit.
Of shit.
Of course he did.
Brady wanted him in New England, and Brady wanted to bring him back in New England last year after he got cut. And you know he was lobbying. Mm-hmm. Bruce Arians was just covering. No, it was.
But why? You know, you know that's not the case. I can't believe it. When a coach says something like that, and you know
they
it's not
foolish.
True. Not only does he look foolish, I'll never trust him to say anything ever again.
Right.
If I'm in the media,
Tom Brady's not in charge. I am. No, he's not. Tom Brady is.
Anyway, I think it's a good gamble. It's a gamble, obviously, because the guy is obviously a head case. But listen, you know the way the NFL is this year. And they were down, you know, their receivers were all hurt anyway. It's a gamble.
Hey, everybody said Oakland made the great move trading for him last year. It was disaster.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be a disaster for Tampa Bay. Could tear down that locker room.
Well,
that's a guy I don't care how talented he is. I wouldn't have him on my
football team.
Okay,
well, you know, I do the basketball.
He's another bad guy.
I do the basketball podcast with Mark Schanowski, by the way, and it's sort of an equivalent that Dwight Howard was signed by the Lakers, and he's been a cancer everywhere he's gone, obviously. But LeBron James has that cachet, if you will, and he controlled Dwight Howard to the point where he was almost a model citizen. Can you say it's the same thing here with Brady and Antonio Brown? Can you?
Antonio Brown was in New England, though. They've been teammates before.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Then why does he want him?
Because of his talent. The guy can run. There's no question about that. And he's a big play guy. But you know, there
could be his last chance too. Oh, I would think it is his last chance.
He's had about 43 last chances.
No, this one might be the final last chance.
It's Tom Brady's last chance too. I mean,
well, that's right. Right. I mean, you know, I don't think Tom Brady maybe 10, 12 years ago.
He's selling his soul for the ring.
Right. Right.
All right, anyway, all right, so we're going to do...
Doesn't he know that the ring he's going to get in Tampa is not going to have as many diamonds as the one in New England? Because the one in New England's got like 6 Super Bowl wins. You get a lot more diamonds per win.
I think his wife will be really pissed off about that. I don't know. Anyway, all right, so that's we wrap it up. The Bears lose to the Rams last night. Record this on Tuesday afternoon, 24-10. We will be back later on Thursday afternoon with a preview of the next game. It's the Bears and the Saints. It's a 3:25 start on Sunday. And by the way, if you didn't know it already, the clocks move back that night. So don't make that mistake of not moving your clocks back the night before on Saturday.
You get an extra hour of sleep.
That's right. That's right. So maybe if they're still walking back from Los Angeles, they might get here by then.
I got to get a COVID tested that morning.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Take care.